for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 268 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week I've got another terrific interview, this time with Russell Nolte. He returns to the show to talk about a Kickstarter that's going to be starting this Tuesday for a monster anthology. And I mean that on several levels. It's 244 pages and it's about monsters. So a hardcover that you're going to want to have. Russell and I talk a lot about how it came to be. We talk in depth about some of the parts of the book, as well as other things that he has going on in support of the Kickstarter. On Tuesday, I recommend that you go to Kickstarter.com, and he'll give you the name of the title. It contains a word I don't often like to say, but this time we make an exception, so be sure to listen to what he has to say. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. It's great to welcome back to the podcast Russell Nolte, the creator behind several books that we're going to talk about, but has a Kickstarter coming up this Tuesday on the 14th, and it's called Monsters and Other Scary Shit, a word that I don't normally like to say, but Russell, since you're here, we'll do that because, as we were talking about just before we started to record, you have another book that uses that word called Katrina Hates Dead Shit. So we'll get this all out of the way right now and get all this done, and why don't you start off by telling us about the Kickstarter, because you're a Kickstarter guy yourself. What's going to happen this Tuesday when the Kickstarter starts up?
Sure. So this is my sixth campaign, my third graphic novel campaign, or I guess this is an anthology, not quite a graphic novel, but self-contained story. Mm-hmm. It's for an anthology called Monsters and Other Scary Shit. It's a 224-page anthology about monsters. Wow. So it's all the different kinds of monsters, from Monsters Incorporated to Hellraiser and everything in between, all sorts of tones. What I find is people usually associate monsters with horror, and I kind of wanted to expand it and really focus on monsters, but in every kind of way you can use monsters, because they're used in horror like Hellraiser or Godzilla, but they're also used in fantasy like Lord of the Rings. They're used in animated shows like Futurama and Adventure Time. They're just used in everything, and I find that monsters are a great literary conceit, my favorite of all time. And so I went out and found just a ton of creators who loved monsters as much as me. And we ended up putting together 30 different stories from 47 different creatives.
Wow.
To talk about all the different ways that you can use monsters. So we have some whimsical monsters. We have funny monsters. We have scary monsters. We have fantasy monsters, sci-fi monsters. And basically, I kind of handpicked all the creatives. And we were able to get creators who've worked for Marvel, for Vertigo, on things like Hellraiser, on Simpsons, on Transformers, on Invader Zim. Our cover artist, Aaron Alexievich, is the artist for the Invader Zim comic book. Mm. And just a ton of different creatives, all professionals, a lot of them working in the industry right now, a couple of new ones, a lot of people that are working professionally, a couple of them that are like rock stars like Aaron Alexievich. Mm-hmm. But just a ton of creatives, and they needed to have two things. I needed them to commit to two things before they came to the book. The first is they had to love monsters as much as me. Mm-hmm. And the second is that they had to have a monster in their story of some type. Aside from that, I let them really jam out on whatever kind of story, whether they want to do a short one-pager, whether they want to do 15 pages, whether they want to make it funny, scary, black and white color. I was very easy on that thing, as long as they loved monsters and they incorporated a monster in the story, because I knew that they were all creatives that were working in the field.
Now, I got to ask you, of course, how do you know when somebody likes monsters as much as you do?
Oh, well, most of them have been my friends for years, so I knew that they loved monsters. Like, for instance, my friend Nick Doan, mm-hmm. who does Monster Elementary. He does a book devoted to monsters. Mm-hmm. My friend Bobby Timoney is an artist on that Monster Elementary book. Aaron Alexievich, who's the cover artist, He does a book called Serenity Rose, which is full of monsters. He draws Invader Zim, which is about an alien monster. Mm-hmm. So most of them had worked in some level making a book that had monsters in them. But otherwise, I just kind of had conversations with them. I mean, like my friend Scott Bachman does a book called Supermom. But like just by knowing who he is and talking to him for 5 minutes, I knew that he loved monsters. Because this is the thing is this is my love letter to monsters. And I wanted to have people that were part of the book that loved monsters too, because otherwise it would be a very bad love letter. We made this from people that loved monsters to people that loved monsters, because this is really a book. As much as it was about jamming out with my friends and doing cool monster stuff, it's really for the fans of our work. Mm-hmm. So we did two books, as you mentioned, Katrina Hates Dead Shit, and our first book, Ichabod Jones Monster Hunter. And one thing that happened over the past year was I didn't put out a monster book. Mm-hmm. I didn't put out another comic book last year. I put out two novels and a children's book. Had no monsters anywhere. And so for basically the whole year, people were like, where's the monster stuff? Where's the stuff? Like, I love monsters. I had hundreds of conversations with people at shows about what they cared about. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they all loved was monsters. So like, really, this is a book for them. I wanted to make a book that my audience and the people that love Wannabe Press would love, mm-hmm. because they have been supporting us for years.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, wannabepress.com is, if we want to go and find your other good stuff, always like to get that. Some people nag at me because I don't tell all the how to get their stuff until the end, and then their backside can't last that long, and so they want to know sooner than that. So Wannabe Press is where you do a lot of stuff. Of course, you have russellnolte.com. At this point, we probably ought to spell your last name just so people can get to the right place.
Sure. It's Russell with two S's, two L's, like Russell Crowe, and then Nolte is Nohelty, and it's russellnolte.com.
Right, and if you want to get to the place about this book, the sub-place is Monster Anthology, all one word.
It's monsteranthologycomic.com, and that will bring you to a place. If you go today or tomorrow, it will bring you to a page where you can download a 50-page preview of the book and see all of the stories. If you go Tuesday or beyond, it's going to redirect you right to the Kickstarter campaign.
Okay, which is always a good thing. We want to get to them Kickstarter campaigns. I mean, okay, you're such an experienced person with this. Are you still getting nervous when you do one of these, or is this sort of like, oh, yeah, I've done this already?
Oh, no, I'm petrified. I mean, so totally over five campaigns, I've raised $21,000 roughly in Kickstarter. I'm trying to raise $20,000 in this campaign alone, so I'm pretty much trying to double my efforts since 2014 to right now in a month and a half. So yeah, I am petrified, man. I'm freaking out a lot. Also, this is the most expensive book that we've ever put on Kickstarter. It's the most expensive book we've ever made, but it's $40. Mm-hmm. Most of our other books that are paperback that we've put on Kickstarter have been $20. Mm-hmm. We had some hardcovers at $30. But $40 is the most we've ever charged to get an entry-level book, which is the cheapest book that is available in the campaign. Mm-hmm. And so that's very nerve-wracking. Now, in return, this book is also almost double the size of our last book. It's double the size of Ichabod. Mm-hmm. It's just about double the size of Katrina at 224 pages. And it's going to be so bound in hardcover. It's going to be printed on glossy art paper. Mm-hmm. It's going to have ribbons and end sheets and all sorts of beautiful touches. And then the cover is going to be a matte wraparound cover. It's going to be wordless. The only thing on the entire cover is going to be the ISBN on the back.
Really?
Yes. And then it's going to be matte. And then the UV spot is going to be on all of – how Aaron did the cover was I have a I'm going to look up the title of the inspiration piece so that people can look that up too. Mm-hmm. But – I was at the Broad Museum and I saw this big mural called Hustle and Punch by KK and Kiki. It's a Murakami print. It's a Murakami mural. So the piece is all sorts of like laughing and weird kind of faces, mm-hmm. like thousands of weird faces all like together. And I said, could you do this, but with monsters? And so he went out and made this beautiful cover front and back, completely wraparound. And he did this kind of blue wash on all of the faces, but he made all of the eyeballs yellow. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is we're going to do the cover mat, and then the UV spot's going to be on all of the eyeballs. Mm-hmm. So the eyeballs are going to glisten. And then if we hit our $20,000 goal, which is our first stretch goal, they're all going to glow in the dark.
Cool. Oh, because I can see what the cover is going to look like on your website, which is really smooth. It's on the completely wordless wraparound cover, which I really like the look of it. It's pretty cool. If you're a Monster fan, you're going to really like that because it does all kinds of wonderful little things, all very different types of monsters in there. So very, very cool. And I always like to say that a cover often sells the book. So I think this cover is going to help sell the book quite a lot. I think that's going to be really terrific.
Yeah, for sure. You know, what's hard is to find a cover artist. Because it was an anthology, I couldn't just pick one human being who was in the book to do the cover. Mm-hmm. So I knew I wanted to pick somebody who wasn't inside the book. But it's very hard because I wanted to make it representational of what's inside of the book. And basically what's inside of the book is just a ton, like you said, it's a ton of different kinds of monsters inside the book. Mm-hmm. So I think Aaron captured the feel of everything that's inside of the book, which is like there's some cute monsters, some scary monsters. There's just every single kind of monster you can imagine. And so I'm usually not a huge fan of when somebody uses an artist who's not inside of the book. Mm-hmm. But in this case, I think it really worked because Aaron was able to encapture the feeling of what I was trying to get inside all of the pages, which is you're going to get a lot of different kinds of monsters if you get this book.
Mm-hmm. Which is true, which is great. And, of course, Aaron is a hilarious guy. I got to talk with a couple of the people who make the Invader Zim comic, which who made the Invader Zim TV show, too, interestingly enough. A lot of those people are the same people. So yep. Very, very cool stuff. You were telling me something before we started recording about there. Some the first couple of days, there's going to be some special offers. Why don't we talk about that before we dive into the book itself?
Sure. So, as I mentioned, the book is $40. For $40, you get the book shipped to you right to your house, as long as it's domestic, so there's no extra shipping charges. You also get a PDF and CBZ file and a PDF download of the cover, so you can use that as a wallpaper or however you choose. So that's what you get for the $40, regardless of throughout the campaign. But on the first couple of days, the first 2 days, so on the 14th and 15th, you get three special editions. The first is if you pledge at $40, you get lifetime access, as long as I have the course up, to my course, Crush It on Kickstarter, which is everything you need to know to create, launch, and fund your campaign. And that is completely free. The other thing that you get, the second thing you get, is an Ashcan PDF. It's an 8-page Ashcan that I did of my book, The Wannabes, which is about fake superheroes who get real superpowers. It's the first thing I ever did. You get that as well. I've only ever given it to people on my mailing list before. The third thing is I'm currently writing and editing my fifth novel, The Vessel, which is like Under the Dome, if Under the Dome lasted for a million years. And you get a free advanced copy of that ebook as well in Mobi, EPUB, and PDF. So all three of those you get for just donating to $40, plus you get the book shipped to your house domestically and the two extra editions. So it's just a bunch of extra freebies that you get for backing the first couple of days.
Which is very critical to a Kickstarter. You know, and the way you start out, I mean, some Kickstarters within like the first week can meet their goal. Then the rest of the time, they kind of come up with other little goodies that you can add to it and get on it. And of course, it does you a lot of good because I often hear Kickstarters referred to as a daily heart attack. You go on every day to see how, if anybody has contributed. If they haven't, you sort of have a heart attack. Oh no, nobody's contributed. So that'll be good if you can get as many folks on board as quickly as you can. That's going to be really sparkly. And, of course, you're going to spend $40 on the book anyway. You may as well get it with all these lovely little goodies attached to it.
Yeah, so we did three campaigns last year. And the first, we kind of had worse, I don't want to say worse and worse, but we had less and less compelling early bird perks throughout the year, throughout each campaign. And each campaign funded for less than the previous one did. And I think it's partially because we didn't do early bird perks as much. And also, I didn't push as hard at the beginning of the campaign. I mean, can I be frank with you?
Sure.
Okay, so this book, I have a proof in my hand. It's a soft cover proof, digitally printed. If we don't fund this Kickstarter, this is the edition that's going to be available for $40. It's okay. I mean, it's all right. The reason we are coming to Kickstarter is because we want to print it in hardcover. We want to print it on better paper quality. Mm-hmm. We want to do this book justice with the glow in the dark eyes and all of the other stuff. Mm-hmm. We also want to make this book more affordable to creators who are buying the book to put it on their table. Mm-hmm. And so the book is going to come out regardless. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, frankly, the book is going to come out regardless. The difference is that if you want the super exclusive deluxe, like beautiful hardcover edition of the book, mm-hmm. the Kickstarter has to fund. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it'll be online on Amazon and, like, you know, it's a pretty good print quality, but it is nowhere near the quality of an offset run on glossy art paper. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have asked me, well, when is it going to be available for mass market? And I'm like, you are making a big assumption, my friend. Your big assumption is that the Kickstarter will fund without you. Mm-hmm. Now, if the Kickstarter funds without you, mm-hmm. then you will be able to buy the Kickstarter edition, the hardcover edition in, I mean, let's call it hopefully by July, mm-hmm. maybe by September. Mm-hmm. But again, there's a very good chance that the Kickstarter doesn't fund without your help. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't fund, then it will still be available. In fact, it will be available in April. Mm-hmm. But it will be available in soft cover printed on an inferior paper stock in an inferior paper quality mm-hmm. with an inferior printing style. Mm-hmm. So you're taking the chance. Mm-hmm. You're taking a shot. And like I recommend that if you're going to spend $40 on the book, mm-hmm. buy it during the Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. A, it'll be cheaper. B, you get the extras.
Right.
And C, you get the super extras.
Right. Very, very cool. And of course, you know, this is a good thing to buy ahead of time, so you have it ready to give to somebody for Halloween or a birthday or something like that, because they're a big monster guy.
Exactly. So this is the thing, especially if you are looking for an experience in book form. We have gotten exceedingly good at providing experiential books, which are books that speak to a certain audience that you can give as gifts that people go crazy for. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to make books that you run back into a burning building for because you love them so much. Please don't run back into a burning building for book, but I want you to love the book so much. I want you to say, I have to buy this for my friend because he will love it. Mm-hmm. I have to buy it for my wife. I want it on my coffee table. I want to show everybody that I know because this represents a little piece of my soul, mm-hmm. just like it represents a little piece of the creator's souls mm-hmm. to have it. So that's kind of the thing that we pivoted to last year. Mm-hmm. I forget the exact time that we talked. I think it was early last year. Mm-hmm. And about middle last year, we really pivoted once we decided to go pretty much all in on hardcovers in 2017 mm-hmm. is we want to make books that are experiences. Mm-hmm. We don't make cheap books. Mm-hmm. We only put out like 2 to 4 books a year, mm-hmm. but we make the best books. We make books that you will, like I said, run back into a burning building for because you love them so much.
So I have to say, there aren't many comics these days I would run back into a burning building to get. Because, well, now, number one, you can always replace them. But number two, if it's something rare that you love and you want to maintain your experience with it, you want to make sure you have that book. And that's the kind of books you guys do.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that's the books that we do. Mm-hmm. And look, there's nothing wrong with those other kinds of books. For instance, like Marvel makes books. And the reason their books are not as high quality as ours is not because they don't have the artists behind them or the creators behind them that can do that book. Mm-hmm. It's because they have to put out like 40 or 50 books a month. Mm-hmm. We don't have that constraint. Mm-hmm. Like we put out books when they're ready. We only put out a few books at a time. So being able to spend, I mean, this book was pretty much all of 2016 for me. So that's a year to put out 200 pages. I mean, and that's over the course of 30 different creative teams. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot more time, effort, and energy that we can sink into every page. Mm-hmm. Than Marvel or DC or Image can, because they have to keep their books going. They're a machine. We're not a machine. We're able to sit back, take our time, and say what we're doing is going to resonate with our audience. Mm-hmm. Because again, we're not making a book that's $2.99. We're making a book that's $40. And there is an expectation for a book that's $40 mm-hmm. that it's going to deliver a certain level of experience mm-hmm. and it's going to be a certain kind of premium product that you're getting, and it will be something that you want to run back into a building for. Marvel, again, because it's $3, doesn't have that expectation on them. They can service the brand at a much lower price point. Mm-hmm. So a part of the fear of what I'm dealing with right now is that is a lot of pressure. I mean, some people are giving us at the average $40,000 salary. Mm. that's $20 an hour, roughly. Mm. You know, they're giving me 2 hours of their life that they worked hard for. Mm. Like, that matters to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it really, really matters that this is not just money to me. This is hours of your life that you've given to work at a job that you aren't using to pay to go to a movie or take your family out to dinner or buy groceries. Like, that is a big commitment for me, and I take it very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. That your $40, that you feel like you got your $40 worth, that you feel like 2 hours of your life that you spent making that money wasn't wasted by giving it to me.
Mm-hmm. I should mention too that while we're talking about Marvel all this time, what is Marvel doing as we speak? But Monsters Unleashed, their own little monstery event kind of a thing. So if you look at that and it's not quite up to what you'd like to see, think about this one. This book is the book that you might want to get to look at instead. And, you know, if
or in addition to, or, you know, look, like, there's place in the market for everything. Mm-hmm. If you like just generally love monsters, like, this is something that is a little bit different than Marvel. Like, this is a little bit more avant-garde, a little bit more experimental. You know, there's 30 different creatives, which means 30 different creative styles. Mm-hmm. It means you're going to see things all across the board. We've got a prose piece in there. We've got a couple of poemish pieces in there, one straight poem in there. Mm-hmm. We've got loose art styles. We've got comedic art styles. A friend of mine works for Color World. He's the one who drew my book. Mm-hmm. We've got very whimsical stories. We've got everything across the board from, like I said, people who do tight pencils like you would see in Marvel or DC, to loose pencils like you would see in something more indie, to childish kind of stories, mm-hmm. to all across the board. And so even if you do love Monsters Unleashed, there's still a place in the market, and there's still hopefully a place in your bookshelf for this book, because it's going to give you a much different flavor. Mm-hmm. You know, not all of our stories are action-y. Mm-hmm. One of them's about what happens to butterflies when they die. Mm-hmm. One of them's a prose story. You know, like I said, there's a poem. There's some comedic breaks in there. There's tonally things across the board that all have to do with monsters. So my hope is that whether you love what Marvel's doing with Monsters Unleashed, or what you loved what they did on the Robert Kirkman one, the Marvel Undead, mm-hmm. one, Marvel Zombies, mm-hmm. or, you know, you love when Archie did the zombie stories, or regardless of what kind of monsters you like, we're hoping, my hope is that there's also something for you, because this is a love letter for all sorts of different kinds of monsters. Like I said, from Monsters Incorporated to Hellraiser, mm-hmm. including Monsters Unleashed and all of this other stuff. And our hope is that, like I said, like, if you love monsters, just generally jam out about monsters, this is the kind of story that can really appeal to you.
Mm-hmm. And there's a wide variety of stuff. And as I'm looking over the stuff on the website, there's a whole bunch of stuff that really appeals to me. Why don't we start out with your story, which is called Go Fish. And I love the description of it. It says, the story of a monster who is constantly accused of stealing a princess, even though they're just friends. Soldiers and I often try to kill the beast, even when he's just playing go fish with his friend, like he is in this tale. And there's a cute little picture where you see the back of what looks like a dragon-y kind of a monster, and his text is in white letters on a black background, and obviously the other person is speaking white. It says, do you have any fives? And the response is, go fish, which I love. Which, you know, it's funny, monsters and humor. There's a lot of times when that really works really well, and I'm looking forward to reading that story. That looks like a terrific story. I really like that a lot.
Thank you so much. You know, first, I wanted to use my piece to talk about something that is both entertaining and thought-provoking, which is kind of like the ethos of all of my writing, which is something that is funny but also has a little bit of a message to it. So this one also talks about racism on top of just being a cute story. Mm. But I also wanted to ease you in to the book. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I think this book does really well is it feels kind of like a mixtape, like a musical mixtape, like you used to be able to buy and less so now. Mm-hmm. But like I wanted to ease you in with a story that kind of feels easy to digest. It looks like the kind of art style you would see, maybe not at Marvel and DC, but in a high-end independent comic. Mm-hmm. Like Image or IDW or Dark Horse. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to like slam you with just weird stuff after weird stuff after weird stuff. But I wanted to ease you in. And just the same thing with the last story, which is Esmeralda's Tree. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ease you out in this kind of whimsical, childlike, you can do anything manner. that Angela Fullard is so great at. Mm-hmm. And between there, so we go from straight from this story about a monster who's just trying to play Go Fish with her friend, mm-hmm. with his friend, mm-hmm. to a story that Katrina Kuntzman does, who also does Warhead and Zed and Alter Life, about two gods who are going to a hangout, mm-hmm. and they don't want to really go there. Mm-hmm. And it's just a classic kind of like Katrina story where all of the people are super weird and like they look weird, but they're dealing with regular like everyday things. Mm-hmm. And so once you kind of ease in and you're like, okay, I feel kind of good about this anthology, then you're a little bit more open-minded to like explore these other kind of weird things. Mm-hmm.
I got a kick out of that because I actually like Alter Life and Zed. I met the writer up in Chicago, and great books. I really like those. And so that person's doing a wonderful job. She's doing a very different kind of take. It seems to be mostly black and white or sort of like a grayish tones in the background instead of being full color like your story is.
Yeah, well, that was one of the things that I wanted to make sure that the people had freedom mm-hmm. to do what they wanted and tell their stories. So a lot of other anthologies, and there's nothing wrong with this. The editors are a little more heavy-handed, but I wanted to have a jam book where the people had the benefit of being able to tell a story that they may not normally tell in their own life, or there'd be no place for in their own line, and give them the freedom, because I trusted all of them. They all have an amazing style, and they all are people that have put out their own books. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to make sure that they felt they had the freedom to explore. So while some anthologies, the book feels like the editor in every story, mm-hmm. which is, again, not bad. This one really feels like the creatives, mm-hmm. and it feels like a mixtape where you're pulling all of these great songs mm-hmm. that you didn't have any real part in producing, and you're making them all fit together.
Mm-hmm. Now, I won't be able to hit every one, but the next one actually gets me, too. It's called Download Possession. It's written and drawn by Juan Carlos Ramos, and I got to read a quick bit of the description. It's a dark tale about a girl forced to make teddy bears for her robot overlord in order for him to fulfill a dastardly promise to her. Ooh, you know, that's a scary little story. And the artwork, again, is a little different. It's not just black and white. There's kind of a reddish tones in the background. There's a green eye on what looks to be a robot somewhere in the page. And wow, it really, you know, that's a scary thought to me. Teddy Ruxpin gone wrong kind of setup.
So Juan, he does some work for Transformers, and he also with IDW Transformers, and he also did this wonderful kids book called So Luna. Mm. And it's a 2-page quick story, but like, yes, I would say it's one of the more terrifying in the book. Mm-hmm. Wow. And again, very different from the second one and very different from the third one. And then we go to the fourth one, and that one is about down and out Sesame Street type character who's been unemployed for a decade.
Yeah, B is for Beer is the title of it. And just as a cute little image of it on the website. And it's got, they call him the letter monster, which of course we have an idea who that's kind of like. It says, Joe, you want to know my favorite letter is? It's B. You know why? And then the bartender goes, nobody cares, letter monster.
Yes. So like, again, like this is, those four stories are very tonally different, but our hope is that they feel like a good mixtape. The reaction that I'm getting is very much people saying, I like that there weren't too many funny stories in a row. I like that they kind of punctuated these very dark stories. So I was reading a very dark story or maybe two dark stories in a row. And then boom, there was like a funny story as kind of like a palate cleanser so that I didn't have to continually like feel beaten down by every like horror or sad story in a row.
Well, I won't make you pick which ones. I'll just kind of, as I'm looking through, I'll ask about questions about ones that attract me. There's one called Fear Monster, and it's a drawing of a monster with great big yellow eyes. And it's written and drawn apparently by Christy Shin. And it's a really amazing thing. It's a short story set in the world that this lady's personal monsters universe. And it's just the image kind of, ooh, when I looked at those big yellow eyes, I was like, yikes. So
that is one of the poem stories. So Christy does this book called Personal Monsters, where she kind of takes people that she knows in everyday life and she turns them into monsters. So like your ex-boyfriend, or maybe like the soul sucking monster or something. And she has like a book about it. Each one's a poem with a picture of a different monster. And she expanded that and did one of her personal monsters for this book. And like, I love this story. It's beautiful. It's beautifully drawn and beautifully written, which is just textbook Christie.
Then, of course, there's another one called Boogeyman, which is written by Christian Douglas. And it looks like Ivan Sarnago is the artist. And the description really says, a long in the tooth cop tries to track down a serial killer who drains and dismembers its victim, which caught me right away, all the while trying not to become the monster's next meal. And again, it's got a little different color scheme to it. It's black and white with some greenish tones to it. So every story basically is totally on its own from the others. And you know, I like it when a book's like that. I like that.
Christian has a great brand called Unpopular Tales. She did one with the Little Red Riding Hood, and I was part of his Unpopular Tales anthology novel series that he did earlier this year. Mm-hmm. So there are new takes on old fairy tales. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was his story. And it's dark and it's creepy and it's incredible. And the art style is incredible. And yeah, so our hope is that just like what's happening to you right now, where you're kind of picking and choosing some of the ones that you think you're going to fall in love with, mm-hmm. and that you love, mm-hmm. you're going to be able to ground yourself in maybe 20% of the book. And everybody's going to ground themselves in a different 20% of the book. Mm-hmm. Your 20% will be different than someone else's 20%. But then you ground yourself in that 20% that you know you'll love. Mm-hmm. And then you're more willing to explore the rest of the book and fall in love with new art styles and new creators and new kinds of ways to tell stories that may not have been something you thought about before.
Okay, and there's one called Seven Tears, and it's described as a mermaid tries to make friends with a lonely little girl who is treated terribly by everyone around her. And it looks like it's a young black girl, so you've got diversity involved as well as monsters happening.
Yeah, I mean, we tried to have females, POCs, people that LGBTQIA. I didn't have any restrictions on that. The only restriction I had was that you have to get your pages in by this day. Mm. And you had to submit, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Then there's one, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Gigapoo? Gigapoo? How's that pronounced?
Yeah, Gigapoo.
Gigapoo. And it's there's this beautiful allusion to like the Fantastic Four cover where they were taking on the Mole Man and he had a monster coming up or something, and it looks just like that. And I always love homage type artwork, and that's what this is. And it's funny, this is a superhero tale, actually, interestingly.
Yeah, it's a superhero tale. I mean, superhero tales are full of monsters, and Luis and Alex did a great job like really imbibing the sort of 70s superhero team and making it a little bit funnier and updating it. But yeah, it's just another way, like I said, of how to use monsters. This one happens to be a big poo monster, but especially superhero comics, well, maybe not especially, but superhero comics have a long history of using monsters as their villains and as their heroes, too.
I got a huge kick out of also in the image. You know how Pokemon, they always say their own name. That's how they get called it. When he's standing there and he's yelling out Gigapoo, which, of course, is very Pokemon of him to do that. Kind of got a kick out of that, too. And then the next one is by Walter Ostley, who does Shiver Bureau, which I really liked. It's a one-page story called Frozen Scream. Talk a little bit about that one, would you?
Sure. So this is a one-page story about a woman who's looking into a mirror and seeing a horrible reflection. And I will say that it was originally going to be a two-page story, mm-hmm. and we cut it down to one just because we thought it was more powerful. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Walter is a good friend of mine. And this is a great example of length times. Walter actually originally told me no, he didn't want to be part of the anthology. And I said, Walter, man, you should. But he was like hemming and hawing about it. But I said, Walter, man, you just do one page. One page of the anthology. He said, oh, I can do one page. I was like, yeah, man, I don't care. I just want you to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, Walter is one who does Shiver Bureau. He does Cubicles, loves monsters. So, like, there's nothing I wanted more than him to be part of this anthology because – again, I'm looking for people who love monsters. Mm-hmm. So Walter agreed, and he made this beautiful, just haunting sort of gothic story. And he was able to convey all of it in one page, which is only four panels long. In fact, the hardest part of that story was finding how to get the picture that you see without spoiling anything. Because, again, it's only four panels long. Mm-hmm. But it is like absolutely beautiful. I love Walter's art. There are two of his stories that came out last year, The Cubicles and The Shiver Bureau, are two of my favorites from last year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, that's a great one. I also like there's one called Do My Bidding. It says a mad scientist can't get anybody to follow his orders, so he constructs somebody who will, or will they? Talk a little bit about that one, because that's like two colors. It's black, of course, use a white, and there's orange color involved with it as well.
Oh, yeah. So this is one of the funniest stories in the whole one. This is Bobby Timoney, who works on Simpsons. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's about a mad scientist who can't get anybody to do what he says. Like, no one to take him seriously. So he creates a monster that'll take him seriously. And hilarity ensues. But again, it's a short, it's a two-page story. Mm-hmm. Bobby was another one that couldn't commit to a lot of pages because he's very busy. Mm-hmm. But we were able to get him for two pages. And like, again, this is one of the reasons why I think that this is so strong, because if people could do 15 pages, they did 15 pages. If they could only do one page, they made a banging one-page story.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, you already mentioned Esmeralda's Tree, so let's go one back to Belly of the Beast. It says it follows a group of parasites who live in the belly of a world-swallowing beast, who rebel against their horrible overlord and find a planet to call their own. I mean, that's different. We don't see anything like that in the whole rest of the book. That's really, and the art is really good. This looks like it's full color.
Yeah, that one's full color. Freedom Lee Drudge is the artist, and he also worked on Mice Templar, and the writer was Josh Wagner. And Josh, I used to syndicate webcomics on my site. I don't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. But he does a book called Fiction Clemens, mm-hmm. which is just like this amazingly weird mashup of sci-fi and fantasy. And it's I can't even properly explain it, but it's kind of like a Western, but it's amazing and it's weird. And like, one of the things that I love is weird for the sake of weird. I mean, the tagline for Wannabe Press is weird books for weird people. So, like, I am all about weird, and his book was weird. And when he agreed to when he submitted his story that Freedom drew, just like I was like, I think that's weird. I have no idea how it's going to turn out, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I want it. Go for it. How many pages do you need?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a really good book. It really is, and it entices you on so many different levels. Sometimes it's a story that gets me. Sometimes it's more the art. It just depends on, and you've got all kinds of different characters and people involved. So, man, I just think this is going to be a great, fun book to read. I can see myself diving into this for a couple hours and not wanting to come back out, because it really looks like a terrific book.
Well, thank you. I hope that's true across the board, because we're really making the books for people like you, Wayne, and people that like comics and also like monsters and also like to explore kind of weird and like maybe not necessarily mainstream art styles, and, you know, want something that is more substantial than the standard Marvel or DC fare. And I know that's not everybody. Like, this book is $40 is not for everybody. Anthologies are not for everybody. Monsters are not for everybody. Indie comics are not for everybody. But for somebody who likes all of those things, this is the book for you. Almost all the creators have published credits. I did want to make sure I left some spots open for brand new creators who'd never published anything before. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, they're either indie or mainstream top 10 published artists mm-hmm. and creators. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I love about anthologies is it allows people to explore new art styles mm-hmm. that they maybe have never tried before. Mm-hmm. It allows them to try different kinds of stories they never tried before. One of the things that I heard from Mary Bellamy, who does the Nightwalker story, mm-hmm. she works on My Little Pony, and she said, I want to do this because I want to do something a little bit more aged up than what I normally do, which obviously My Little Pony, mm-hmm. she has no flexibility to do anything mm-hmm. that's not like super all ages. Mm-hmm. So it allowed her to do that. My friends Mike and Greg, Mike does A Screen to Kill For, mm-hmm. and Greg does The Mirror. They both work on a book for Oni called Young Braves of the Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. It's a long time to get books out there. I mean, the books are 300 pages. Mm-hmm. So like, this allows them to like do shorter stories and have other things published while they're like working on this big 300-page story. So it kind of allowed for everybody to express themselves in a way and all still be a little bit focused on monsters. And I'm not a woo-woo guy. I'm a very practical guy. And I think that this book is very special. Mm-hmm. I think that it's probably as far as just like magicalness goes, it's the most. I love Katrina and Ichabod, and I think they're fantastic books and they're amazing, and like I love them to death. But like this book feels magical to me, like the way that it came together, the way that all the stories kind of fit in this bell curve, that they all like kind of fit together in the right way, that it even came together at all, that we're able to get 30 stories from like almost 50 creators. And probably when you take into account every single person that worked on this, more than 50 creators. The fact that we were able to put it together in the timeline that we wanted to, get the artist, that the artist came back. And I follow Aaron's career pretty closely, being friends with him. And I still think that this is the single best image he's ever made for the cover.
Wow. That's saying something, because he's done a lot of good stuff. He really has.
He's done a lot of great stuff, a lot of fantastic stuff. So for me to confidently say this is the best singular image I've ever seen him create is saying a lot. So I truly, truly believe that, especially because I made this with the fans in mind. The first two books that we did, or a lot of the first books that we put out, were things that I had made before I had a fan base. They were things I made just sitting and tinkering away. This was the first real book that I made after talking with fans and designing something specifically for them and for creators that I wanted to work with. So while the other two books, the other two big books and Gherkin Boy and all the other stuff that we really put out before this is my weird sensibility writing for me as an audience member, this anthology is for the fans, is completely fan service to people that love monsters and people that I've met at shows and people that love the same things that I did. And it's a big, beautiful, magical book that is a very different thing for me because I also have created all of my works and I've written all of my work. This is the first book. I mean, we published a couple of other things that I had edited and one that I just published. But this is the first big, massive, like major work that I've done that I pretty much only have 7 of 224 pages that I was heavily involved with aside from publishing and doing the editorial afterwards. So like to me, this is also like a level up for me because it makes me feel a lot more like a publisher as Wannabe Press as opposed to someone who's publishing mostly my own stuff.
Well, the book is called Monsters and Other Scary Shit and 224 pages hardcover. Boy, you can't do better than that, I think. And it's going to start on Tuesday the 14th. Do you remember what time it's going to come available?
Sure. So it'll be available at 7 a.m. Pacific time, so 10 a.m. Eastern time. We're going to try and get it out earlier. If you want to get information on it and be the first people to know about the launch, I highly recommend you get on either the Wannabe Press mailing list at wannabepress.com. You'll also get some free comics for joining, or the Monster and Other Scary Shit mailing list at monsteranthologycomic.com, where you get a free 50-page preview of the book. Either way, you'll get on a mailing list and get an email of what is going on, and we'll send an email when the book launches.
Okay. So,
can I make one final pitch before we get out of here?
Of course.
All right, cool. So you can also find my podcast at thebusinessofart.us, iTunes, and Stitcher, and also at Russell Nolte on Twitter and Instagram is where you can find me online.
Okay.
I want to take one final moment and to give you one last reason why you should back the book. I know I've been talking about it this whole time, but let me tell you what you get for $40. You get 224 pages of book from some of the best indie creators and creators that are out there today. Creators who've worked for Marvel, for Vertigo, for Image, for Boom, for IDW. They've worked for Transformers. They've worked for My Little Pony. They've worked for Ghost Rider and Hellraiser and Invader Zim. They've created their own books. They're mostly working creatives who are in the indie space as well. Even Aaron Alexievich, who does Invader Zim, also does his own book called Serenity Rose. Even my friend who works for My Little Pony also does her own book called Aw Heck. So these are all working independent creators who all love monsters. The love comes through on every page. And for $40, you get the hardcover book delivered to you. No additional shipping charges. It's going to be $45 at least once it comes out with shipping charges. You also get the PDF and CBZ file of the 224-page book, which will cost $15 additional. After the campaign is over, at least if not $20 additional. And then you also get some sort of download of the cover. It's probably going to be a JPEG or PDF or some sort of file of the cover, which I don't even know if I'm going to offer ever again after the campaign. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably never going to offer a digital download of the cover ever again. Mm-hmm. All for $40. Mm-hmm. And if you back the first 2 days, mm-hmm. you also get the lifetime access to my Crushed On Kickstarter course, a PDF of my first comic ever, The Wannabes, mm-hmm. and an advanced copy of my book, The Vessel, which is like Under the Dome, if Under the Dome lasted for over 1 million years. Mm-hmm. All of those things make the book absolutely worth the $40. Mm-hmm. If you love monsters, you love indie comics, mm-hmm. and you love beautiful books. Mm-hmm. If you love the kind of books that you run back into a burning building for, if you love paper quality, if you love finishing touches, then this is the book for you. If not, that's cool. Like, maybe we can still be friends. Mm-hmm. Go over to Wannabe Press and sign up anyway and like get our 7 cool things weekly email. But if you love monsters, any forms, I'm talking about from Monsters, Inc. to Hellraiser and everything in between. Mm-hmm. If you love independent comics, if you love anthologies, then I have done everything in my power to make this the absolute 100% best monster anthology that has ever existed. Mm-hmm. All for $40 shipped right to your door in beautiful hardcover.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait to see it. Can't wait for the Kickstarter to get going so we can get started signing up, because I'll be there that first day. And I encourage everybody who's listening, get out there and support this book, because you're going to be getting a real bargain and a wonderful book that you're going to treasure forever. So, Russell, I'm sure it's going to be successful. I can't wait to see how this goes. And we'll have to talk to you again sometime in the future when maybe volume 2 of Monsters and Other Scary Shit comes out.
Awesome, man. I look forward to it. Thanks so much for having me on.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this episode. Be back next time. I'll have another great interview with an excellent comics creator, something I'm sure you won't want to miss. But until then, keep reading your comics.
Hal Jordan of Earth, Green Lantern of Sector 2814. The Viceroy of Demrak 7 claims that when we assigned you to police crucial peace negotiations, you punched him in the face. Is this true?
No, sir. I punched the Viceroy in the stomach. Then I headbutted him in the face. Sir.